to see you here this morning. You know, I was telling Peggy earlier, if it was just about 20 degrees colder, we'd have white Christmas. That's a good way to look at it. I'm glad to see you here. The other day I had gone to one of the large chain stores, and as I was going out, the lady, I could tell she was sort of tired, and she sacked the stuff and said, "Happy holidays." And I said, "Do they tell you you have to say happy holidays?" I just wanted to know, because you know you hear that. And she looked at me, raised one eyebrow, and said, "Listen, there ain't nobody in the world going to tell me when I can and when I can't say Merry Christmas, Hallelujah, God bless you, whatever." Well, Merry Christmas. She still had some Christmas cheer left, if that's what you call it. It was good. But Merry Christmas to everyone, and happy birthday to Jesus and to Abraham Ortega. Happy birthday, Abe. You know, I spent Christmas in the hospital when I was... I spent Christmas in the hospital when I was 5 years old. Don't feel sorry for me. It was my fault. At age five, I was completely overwhelmed with the whole Christmas thing. It wasn't the true Christmas thing. It was just the what I thought Christmas thing. I was so excited about the visitor who was going to come and bring presents. I could hardly go to sleep. And every half hour, I woke up and said, "Daddy, has he come?" Woke the whole family up. And every time it's, "No, go to sleep." About a half hour later, I hit it again. Finally, about 3:30, my dad said, "I've had it. Yes, he's come." I got up. I played for about 12 hours, refused to eat, dehydrated, and spent 2 days in the hospital. Somehow I figured out Christmas, but I didn't figure out the real one. I figured out the one that most Americans have figured out. And I figured out at way too young an age in a very, very prosperous society. Did you know that the average American family uses 70 feet of Christmas paper every year and 50 yards of ribbon to wrap an average 32 gifts? It's pretty big. How would that go in India, Suzanne? Wow, think about it. Sort of a long way from the reality of what Christmas really was. Now, I enjoy the festivities as much as anyone, enjoy giving and receiving presents and everything, and I don't want to throw that away either, but I just wonder how many times we really sort of miss why Jesus came. Why did he come? Now, I can go through the thing of he came, and I can pull out these words like, to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's a good Christmas phrase. We haven't seen it, but it's a nice Christmas phrase. We could talk about how ever since Jesus came, there's been love on the earth, and now all is well. And everybody would go, "Yeah, that's great, a wonderful float, but it just hadn't turned out that way." Let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Well, I want to answer that question today, and I promise I won't be long-winded at all today. I just want to answer it the way the Bible answers it. I think that's probably the best way to do it. In John chapter 1, verse 18, this is a verse we read. John 1:18, somewhere. There we go. "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who's at the Father's side, has made him known." When John first talked about Jesus coming in John chapter 1, he made it like Jesus came to show us God. You see, up until this time, nobody's ever seen God. Nobody had ever seen God. In fact, God was unseeable. He is the great I Am. He's like way off up in the clouds, up on top of Mount Sinai, and when you see him, your face burns off kind of thing. Nobody had ever seen God. In John chapter 1, John revealed to us that Jesus was the way that we see God. Now that's pretty good. John reveals that Jesus is the way we see God. That's amazing. In fact, there's a word for it. It's probably the most powerful word in the whole Old Testament. It's the word Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. That's what the word itself means. There was a little boy whose parents were missionaries. Several decades ago, a little boy had to be sent to boarding school in the United States because his parents were in a very difficult mission field with not very good education at all, not even good possibilities. So he didn't see his family for a year. And he was at a boarding school, a Christian boarding school that actually supported his parents as missionaries. And one day, as they approached Christmas, the headmaster said to the little fella, said, "Well, John, tell me, what do you want to happen at Christmas more than anything?" And the little fella looked and he saw a photograph of his father and mother on the desk of the headmaster, because they prayed for them regularly. And he thought about it and he looked and he said, "I want my father to step out of that picture frame." That's exactly what Christmas is. The Father stepped out of the frame and entered the room. He entered our world. God actually left there and came here. That's why Christmas is huge. That's why it's the greatest thing in the whole universe, is because it's the day God showed up. The one who flung the stars into the heavens at creation became a baby in a manger. That is incredible. That is beyond belief. And that is what Christmas is. That is Emmanuel. Jesus came. Here's the reason Jesus came, the first one. He came to show us what God looks like. And if you want to know anything about God, just read about Jesus, and you'll know all there is to know about God. The second reason, I'll also read in the Bible, it's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. This is what we read. 1 John 3, 5 says, "But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. In him is no sin." The Bible says the reason Christmas happened, was so he could take away our sins. Wow. Take them away? Let me ask you, if you were, let's say that leaving church today, you got in your car and you were heading home and you were in a hurry and you were speeding. And the cop pulled you over and gave you a ticket. How will you resolve that ticket? You could say, you know, from now on, I'm not going to speed. And you could drive the speed limit from that day on, and you would still owe every dime of that ticket. It's true. There's only one way, and that is to pay the ticket. You see, we have this feeling in our hearts that when it comes time to change our lives, we just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we just do our best, and we just say, from now on, I'm going to do better, and I'm going to do better, and I'm going to do better, and somehow do better doesn't take away the past at all. Jesus came to take away the past. He came to do something there is no way we can do on our own. We cannot save ourselves. Man has to have a Savior. I like in the scripture when it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." They've never had one of those before. So Jesus came to show us what God looked like, but he also came to be a Savior, because there's no way we could save ourselves. Let's say there was an airplane and it was going to fly to Antarctica. All right, not like many of you bought tickets for there, but You're flying to Antarctica, and you get into some really bad turbulence, and pretty soon the plane like loses a wing, and it goes, and it lands in the frozen ocean, and it crashes, and there are three survivors. And these three survivors, one of them is not a good swimmer at all. The second one is a pretty good swimmer, an average swimmer. And the third one is an Olympic champion swimmer. Which one of those is going to make it back to New Zealand? One of them will die in about 3 minutes. One of them will die in about 30 minutes, and the other one might last an hour. When we compare ourselves to each other, we see we can be each other's savior. But none of us can save anybody. I don't care if you're the Olympic swimmer of life. You'll never make it back to land. You gotta have a savior. Criminals can't save themselves, and good old church folk can't either. The reason Jesus came is because we need a savior. There's a third one. By the way, I'm already half through. Because there's 4 points. So I'm already at three. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, just a few verses later than the one I just read. Listen to this. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared, look at this, was to destroy the devil's work. Ooh, that's cool. Why did Jesus come? Why was Christmas? To show us what God looked like, to be a savior, and to destroy the devil's work. If the devil's work is sin, and you and I have been about it most of our lives, God wants to destroy the devil's work. Let me tell you the coolest thing about that word destroy. That word destroy up there, it's a really cool Greek word. It is not the word smash. It is not, doesn't mean wipe out. It doesn't mean kick down. It doesn't mean put away. You know what it means? Loosen. It's the word, it's the word luo, and it means loosen, to loosen the devil's work. You know what God says? God says the devil's work in us are sort of like chains. You've seen all the human videos where the people have chains and the chains get loosed and they throw the chains off and everything. It's the same word that when Jesus said to Lazarus, come out, and Lazarus came out. You know, the Bible says he was in grave clothes. Jesus said, loose him. And they had to take the grave clothes off of him. That's the word there. Jesus came so that you and I could be loosened from the power of sin. It doesn't go away magically. You got to fight it because you're a human being. When you get saved at this altar, when you come down here and you say, Jesus, come in my heart, Jesus doesn't suddenly take away all possibility of you sinning. That would be great. He doesn't take away that possibility and you skip out of here and never sin again. Let me tell you what he does. He loosens the chains so that you can throw those chains off and you can choose to walk with him. That's why Jesus came. He came so that he could save you, put your sins away, but he could also loosen the chains of what those sins are so that you don't have to be in bondage anymore. That's why, Suzanne, when you got saved, you didn't turn back and go back into that sin, did you? Because he had loosened the chains. I'm sure there are many times the enemy would love to put them back on you. But you know what? You were free to say yes to God instead of no. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came so you personally could be loosed from those chains. Well, so far, Jesus came to show us what God looks like. Jesus appeared to put away our sin and be our Savior. Jesus appeared to destroy and loosen the devil's work in us so we don't have to be in that anymore. That's pretty good. So far, so good. I want to show you the fourth one. We read this in somewhere. Let me see where it is. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation for those who are waiting for him. Jesus came the first time to prepare us for his coming the second time. Today we celebrate the coming of Jesus in a manger, but I've got news for you. He's going to show up again. He is going to show up again. And the reason is to finish not what he hadn't done, but to let what he has done finish the work. It started when he died on a cross and rose from the dead. Jesus has let us experience the truth of the life of God in our heart, and one day he's going to break the eastern sky and come back, and it's going to be true for everyone all over the earth. It's going to happen. And so when we sing the songs, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and in our minds we go, you know, there ain't a dab of peace around here yet. When we say, oh, the world is at peace tonight, everybody goes, no, it's not. Everybody sings Silent Night and goes home to a drunken family beating on each other. Let me tell you why. That's because Jesus hadn't finished yet. But one day, he's going to finish it. He broke through. He showed up. He gave us the power. He did the work of dying on the cross. He became our Savior. He gave us the power to be loosed from our sins. And one day, he is going to break the sky open again and finish it. And no longer will the devil have a shot at you anymore. Now, that is the truth. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came the first time to get us ready for the second time. Jesus will return. He will come back. When Jesus came the first time, the world was ripe for his coming. The conditions were perfect for the Savior to show up. Alexander the Great was this great guy named Alexander. So he was a king who conquered the world by the time he was 33 years old. Pretty good guy. Showed up, took over the whole world, thought he was God. He really did think he was God. And then he died of some fever, possibly syphilis, at age of 33. Died a horrible death. Alexander the Great did one thing, though. He united the whole world to speak the same language, so that even if you had your own little dialect, everybody spoke the same language. It was Greek. And God said, perfect time to let the world know about a Savior. I'm going to come while everybody speaks the same language around. Everybody can read the same thing. I'm going to write my letters, my New Testament in that language so the whole world will know. The world was ripe for it. The world was ripe because the Roman Empire had just erupted on the earth, and the Roman Empire had built roads to every little town and every city and every village. And God said, it's time. If I let the news of my Savior come, it can hit every highway and it'll transfer to the whole world in no time. And it did. The world was ripe because there were dictators destroying people and families and cities and trying to elevate themselves up as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the world was ready for somebody to come and be the true Messiah. The world was ripe. I'm telling you, the world's ripe again. The world is ripe again. We're in a world today that finds itself in probably the worst shape it could possibly be in. You and I, we watch television news, and it's almost depressing to hear the same thing over and over. You hear about the economy over here, and then you hear the Iran is just about to get a nuclear bomb, and then you hear, by the way, they threatened us, and by the way, they threatened Israel, and then you read the scripture, and you go, oh, good grief, it's all happening. The world's getting ripe. It needs a Savior. It needs a Messiah. Let me tell you what, the world's also ripe for this. The fields are ripe for harvest. That's really where I am. I'm not so worried about what Iran does. I'm so worried about what we do. We got a lot to do. The world is ripe. It's time for the world to hear about a Savior. He's coming back. He's coming back, and nothing should motivate us more to tell the world about a Savior than the fact that He's coming back soon. I know that some people say, if I had a conversation with somebody recently, they sort of, the whole thing about the coming of the Lord. Well, I know, look, the grass is still green. It's always been green. Cows still eat grass. Cows still give milk. You know, babies still cry. Everything's been the same since the beginning. Everything will keep going until some meteorite wipes us out. That's what the person said. This person said there's a greater chance of a meteorite wiping Earth out than there is of Jesus coming back. And in my heart I said, you just don't understand. The first time He came, they missed Him because they had it all figured out. Didn't they? Even the religious people did. He was going to be born of the house of David, probably in the palace somewhere, and He was going to be the King Messiah, and He was going to restore everything to like it was supposed to. And they missed Him. They missed Him so bad, a bunch of stargazers from Iraq had to show up and tell the king that the Savior had been born. They weren't even believers. They missed Him. I'm telling you, the world's missing it. But the Bible says we shouldn't be like that. Don't you miss it. Don't you miss it. Today, on the celebration of the coming of Jesus in the past, I want to focus your eyes on the coming of Jesus in the future. We're going to enter a very difficult year. We know that. In one way or another, this is going to be a very difficult year. In a lot of ways. God will be with us. In fact, God could use us this year more than any other time in human history. Because Jesus is coming. I know you see the tabloids about 2012, the Mayans predicted the end of the world in 2012. The Mayans also sacrificed babies. They're like crazy people. Don't worry about the Mayans. Don't worry about the Mayan calendar. Worry about the biblical one. The one where Jesus can come any day. The one where the coming of Jesus is the next big event on the horizon. And we need to not only make sure our hearts are prepared, but everybody we touch. Clark, you mentioned your whole family being here, and I think that's the most awesome thing in the world. Isn't it great to know as you sit there with your immediate family, you all know Jesus? You all prepared, you all know Jesus as your Savior? Brother White, isn't that the most incredible thing to know? It's so incredible. There are a lot of folks out here, your family members do not know the Lord. This might be the year. It may be a tough year, but it may be the year they come to know Jesus. Especially if that becomes your focus. Because why? Because Jesus is coming. Let's not just get Christmas. Let's get Christmas all the way to the future. Let's get what Christmas is now, a celebration that He came and was born. And Christmas, well, it's sort of the night before Christmas future. This is the night, and the next Christmas is coming. And Jesus will show up then as well. That's what I want to leave with you today. Jesus came, and He's coming. Would everyone bow your heads for a moment? Tom, if you'll come. I just want for a few moments, I want everyone in here just to bow your head for a second. I'm not going to call our altar worker team to the front or anything today, but I'm going to ask everybody, if you just in your heart of hearts, you'll just think about your life right now, where you stand with God, where you stand in your relationship with Him. Have you met Emmanuel? God has come to meet you. He stepped out of the frame. Have you met Him? Ask yourself the question, is He my Savior? Have I asked Him to take away my sins? Only He can do it. Ask yourself the question, are the chains of sin still wrapped around my heart, my hands, my feet? Have I shaken them off because the Lord has loosed them? He has given me no reason to be in bondage anymore. Have I shaken those chains off? Are there things in my life, habits, sins, hidden things that I'm still walking in? Ask yourself, if the Lord comes back Christmas Day for the second time, would you be ready? Would you welcome him like the shepherds? Or would you be surprised like most of the world was the first time? Father, I ask you to let everyone ask that question. Right now, if you ask that question to yourself and either one of those answers you were not able to give, I just want you to listen to me as I pray. Then I'm going to ask you to take this prayer and make it your own. I want you to say in your heart, Father, I need you. I need to meet you. I know you've stepped out of the frame to meet me. I just need to meet you, Lord. I need you to be my Savior, to take my sins away. I need to be loosed from the power of sin that has just held me down forever. God, I want to be ready to meet you. If Christmas happens tomorrow, the second Christmas, I want to be ready. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me, change my life, forgive my sins.